gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't have the facts to back this up, but I'm so tired. I think Herman Cain may have sexually harassed me this weekend. I don't even remember.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did he pay you a large chunk of money?
I don't remember.
Hmm.
Because this just in, Chris, the Sexy Liberal Show has officially killed me.
Oh?
Yes. And so in time for me to go as Zombie Steph for Halloween.
How lucky for you. You don't need to shop for a costume.
I am the undead. Speaking of which, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, will be on later.
How about that?
Uh-huh.
Happy Halloween, everybody. She's a tough get on Halloween.
Yeah, how do we afford that?
Yeah.
That must be your salary going to that.
Herman Cain sexually harassed her, so she got a large chunk of money. That's how we paid for it.
Happy Halloween, everybody. I am Zombie Steph. You know what? San Francisco on Halloween weekend, in retrospect, All I know is I think Joan Walsh is still looking for a car right now.
Oh?
Yeah. And what? Marcos Melitzos, I don't know what happened to him. We had a party, a sexy liberal party.
Oh.
This weekend in San Francisco, and it was... That's how you know. We kidnapped Joan Walsh. We made her do panel. And then it was hilarious. She actually came out as a surprise guest during John Fugelsang's Chris Matthews bit.
Wow.
He was like doing Chris Matthews talking to Joan Walsh, and then she walked out. And the crowd went wild. All right. And then we kidnapped her to go drinking, and that's all I remember. Marcos Melitzos was there, Daily Coast.
He's awesome.
Hilarious. He went as the middle class. He had a T-shirt that said middle class, and then there was a knife, a bloody knife sticking in the middle of his chest.
That's clever.
Awesome. I went to Occupy San Francisco. Some of our proceeds went to Veterans for Peace and to Scott Olson, the Iraq vet that is recovering.
Yeah.
Up there from the tear gas canister injury.
Occupy Oakland. Yeah.
Thank you, San Francisco. I love you.
Aw.
Look, it's the healing power of the sexy liberals. Rebecca in Oakland, right, Steph? Love the San Francisco show Saturday night. I've been sick all week. This is our first report of a healing.
Oh,
there's been
good.
A sexy liberal healing. It's a sexy liberal miracle.
Yeah.
There's no way I was missing the show. Even if I'd been dead, I would have made my husband take me Weekend at Bernie style. That's the kind of commitment I like to hear. But after seeing the show and having my picture taken with each of the sexy liberals, I've awakened feeling much better. Thank you all. The show was amazing. Afterwards, you were also sweet to the nutty fans in the VIP room. They're not nutty.
Computer says no.
They were very sweet.
Some can be nutty.
My husband, Jeff, who can only pay attention to things that have naked women or sports, said, "Wow, that was a fast 2 hours." That's a compliment from a semi-conservative husband. I'm nearly naked during it. It was hot girl-on-girl sex. It was some hot stuff. The only negative for me is I'm left with some nagging questions. Why couldn't it be my phone down Stephanie Miller's pants? It was the guy in front of me. Why couldn't it be my husband motorboating Stephanie Miller's boobs? It was the guy across the aisle. I'll be left to ponder these. Rebecca, you know, it's a little bit like the lottery, sexy liberal. You never know who I'm going to motorboat. Whose phone goes down my pants, you know.
Yeah.
All right, we're waiting. It looks like Herman Cain is going to speak. I'm going to guess. I'm just going to go on a limb and guess this will be a high tech lynching. Is that what's happening here? Because he plays the race card fairly regularly. So the fact that what is it now? Two women. Oh God, I love this.
Who used to work for him?
Cain attacks does not deny Politico report. Yeah, how skeevy was that spokesman? There was no real denial.
No.
It was just how dare you, liberal media, persecuting a black man? Look what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with his race.
Considering his craziness, I say he's going to probably double down and do another creepy commercial where he does the creepy stuff. So, maybe I did.
Smile.
Slow, creepy smile. Yeah, Rude Pundit has a great piece this week about how creepy the Herman Cain head is. And that's before this story broke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be someone else smoking. It'll just be like film noir. Calling women all sorts of sexist names.
It'll be like the cast of Mad Men.
Hey, dames, come on over here on those great pins of yours. Daddy, some coffee. All right. See, this is very sweet. More sexy liberal letters. A lot of people are concerned about my... And by the way, justifiably so, because as you know, I think I'm stroking out, but in a very, you know, slow motion kind of way.
Is that possible?
Kind of like the carpet commercial where they're about to spill the red wine on the white carpet. I think so. Maybe a series of minis. Not really sure what's happening.
All right.
Yeah. This is the third double weekend show this month, and I'm this close to...
And you're dead.
I actually am dead. I'm Zombie Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff in Miami, but see, most people just concerned that I don't entirely stroke out before their show, as long as I can make it to their... Cliff in Miami, of course. Hi, Steph. Daily listener, big fan. Have to say you've been sounding exhausted lately. The Sexy Liberal Tour, pretty cool, but don't let it kill you. I have my tickets for South Florida, Sexy Liberal. See, there's always... There's like a faux concern. Like, I hope you're going to be okay. However...
I spent cash on these things.
Yeah, if you could wait until after Fort Lauderdale. What is that now? Oh, December 10th. Austin's up next, by the way, Saturday, November 12th. Buffalo, New York, the hometown, whereas I think I'm going to have my Rose moment. That's where I'm planning it, because it's when she goes home.
Wasn't that from drinking too much alcohol, the Rose moment? Didn't she, like, drink too much?
It could have been... I don't know. I think there were drugs. I think there were drugs involved,
I
too.
Think it was more than exhaustion.
All right, well, we're going to... You're officially my spokesperson, because I don't have one. I'm telling you preemptively, it'll be dehydration and exhaustion.
Okay, I'll get that out to the press.
Okay, yeah, Buffalo Saturday November 19th, Fort Lauderdale, and then Denver, the big Chris Mahana Kwanzaa show on December 17th, and then we'll see if I'm still alive. All right, where the hell's Eric Bowler? Is he not coming?
Because I guess not.
I have all sorts of great Eric Bowler things. See, I'm stretching, as they say in the business, while we wait for Herman Cain and or Eric Bowler.
Yeah.
So lots to get to today. We have Rude Pundit coming up. Glenn Greenwald.
Yes.
Speaking of awesome things from Salon.com, like Joan Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and then Edie McClurg, of course, in hour number three. Oh, I brought a prop today for show and tell.
Well, can you show the class?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I will show you y'all on Ustream. Okay, you know how I always complain about my passive-aggressive note writer on the hiking trails near my house where I take Max and Fred? Max and Fred!
Yes.
I'm always a handsome, romantic man. It's kind of some pet peeve music. So here's So I clean up after my dogs. I understand it's irritating when someone leaves their dog's poo on the hiking trail or whatever. This, can you see this? This is the actual note from Passive Aggressive Note Writer. Look at that, Ustream. Look at it.
What's it say?
See, and it's an annoying bright red construction paper. So somebody left their dog, like a bag of their dog's poo, and then this person always puts this note there.
Roses are red.
Roses are red, violets are blue. When you walk this trail, think of others too. Oh, I hate both of you equally. Listen to me. Poo Leaver and Passive Aggressive Note Writer, I hate both of you. Seriously. Because now, and you know what I did? I picked up the poo and I threw it out and I took this for show and tell.
Thank you.
Stop it! Stop! Then there's more garbage on the trail. Then there's a bag and there's your stupid construction paper. Okay. Thank you. Because I am Gandhi of a poo, I picked it up. I picked up their trash and the dog's poo and I threw it out. Just to make a point. You know who you are, people. Seriously, what do they think the chances are the person that left the poo is going to come back and read this and go, oh.
You seem quite exercised about this.
I am exercised about everything. I am so tired. I am zombie Steph. All right. David Bender's here. Yeah. Oh, look at him filling in.
Why? He's filling in for Eric Bowler.
Why, look at
David Bender, everybody, our pal. Return.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
You're too good a friend to just let me ramble incoherently, realizing that my guest has not shown up.
I can't let you do it.
I've had an hour of sleep. I'm still drunk from San Francisco, and Eric Bowler's not here.
I'm watching the wine spill in slow motion on the carpet.
Thank you. Normally, when you're here, you're my enabler.
I would say, hey, congratulations on a great show. I heard from people in San Francisco. It sounded fantastic.
Yeah, it was really, like I say, in retrospect, Halloween weekend in San Francisco, maybe.
Kid says no.
Maybe that it was off the hook,
yeah,
as they
the
say.
Chain.
Off the chain, as the kids.
How many people were dressed as Michelle Bachmann, which I hear is the big costume this year?
You know what? I read an article saying that people are not dressing up as political people this year.
Yeah, they're so turned off politics.
Yeah.
That they can't even make you the Sarah Palin costume free this year.
Yeah.
what I saw people were doing, Chris, was that they're cutting out, you know, that Newsweek photo where she's just staring straight ahead. They cut out that photo and they cut open the eyes like a jack-o'-lantern, and you have to have your own glassy stare, and that's how you can be a really effective Michelle Bachmann. People run screaming into the night.
So what you have to? We're waiting for. Oh, there's Herman Cain now. You have to tell me what you think the.
Well, I you know, it's funny. You could see this coming. What's been going on is that all the other campaigns, and there is a new poll out this morning, and you know how I feel about polls, but this one is particularly hysterical, that has Herman Cain ahead of Rick Perry in Texas.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Wow.
He's 1 point. It's Cain 27, Perry 26.
Wow. And in Iowa, of course, it's Cain 23, what do you call it? Or excuse
Romney
me,
Romney.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, you had to know this was going to happen. What's going to happen is that they're digging up all this opposition research. They're holding it. And all of this now is timing. This stuff's been available to people. And by the way, the same thing's going to happen with Mitt Romney and Rick Perry. And I'm not saying it's sexual harassment. It's just all this stuff. This is what they spend millions of dollars and a lot of time, you know, sort of putting their in reserve in order to be able to use it at the right moment.
Yeah, I don't think
is the right moment.
I don't think Mitt Romney has ever actually touched anybody. He's clip art, and also it might muss his hair. So I'm
getting... hey, darling, he put a dog on the top of a car. And expect to see video footage of his dog after a 12-hour trip on the top of a car. The video will surface at some point.
Yeah,
and the dog will do a deposition.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, you know my dogs would testify against me in a moment. So, Bender, hang on, honey, and we will be back. Herman Cain, it looks like he's speaking live.
Yeah,
and,
he's talking about business. He's not talking about the sexual harassment claims yet.
We'll wait and see if there's a Q&A. 17 minutes after the hour. Back with that and Bender as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Have me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert coming up in about half an hour. His phone is out because of the storm back east. How glad am I? I don't live in New York still. Yeah.
That was quite the storm.
Zoinks.
And it was in the mid-80s here this weekend.
Yeah, I think we had some sexy liberals had a hard time getting back to the East Coast this this weekend. All right, 1-800. I went to my first Occupy. I went to see Occupy San Francisco.
Oh.
It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Kevin in Occupy Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Kev.
Greetings, my liberal goddess. How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, Kev. How are you?
Well, we occupied the boat show this weekend. I don't know if you heard, and Alan West almost had a stroke. Ah. He was at the boat show.
Oh my God.
Anyways, rumor has it that you're going to be in Fort Lauderdale. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. When is it? December 10th. Yes, 10th is Sexy Liberal Show.
Okay. If possible.
Uh-oh. Is the truck backing into you, Kevin?
If possible. What's that?
Is the truck backing into you as you speak?
Yeah, right. Yeah. If possible, we would love for you to make a guest appearance. I would love you to meet our leaders of Occupy Fort Lauderdale if we can make that possible.
Oh, awesome. We will check into that. I don't even have flight stuff yet.
If you can get me off the air, I will give you my personal information, Stephanie,
awesome.
As well. We would like to I'm sorry. My seatbelt just came off. My seatbelt just came up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What I'd like to do, since I'm on the air, if anybody in Broward County or South Florida would like to join our group, we are looking for more people to join us, and you can reach us on Facebook or at www.OccupyFortLauderdale.org. And we need more people to join and make this a a positive movement.
Awesome. All right, honey. Thank you. We will hang on. I'm gonna let get your information. Bender remains with us. David Bender. By the by, it was hilarious. We had a heckler at Friday night's.
Oh, really?
I see that. Someone was this an Occupy the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show?
I don't know. It was in the Q&A. He said Ron Paul for President Obama's a war criminal, and fortunately, someone had just given me pot brownies, so I gave them to him. I'm like, oh, please, have some pot brownies. Settle down. Dear God.
I think Ron Paul has a line of pot brownies, actually.
See, that's the difference on the left. We're fine with dissent and with, controversy and arguing and, ooh, it's differences of opinion and nuance and, ooh, melanin. Yikes. We're okay with all that.
I'm sorry I missed that because they picked the wrong show to heckle.
Yes.
You, Hal, and John Fugel saying that is not a fair fight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, but it was fun. It was like a town hall on crack. It was hilarious. It was sort of like, why are you going to a comedy show if you... Yeah, but anyway.
And which brings us back to Herman Cain.
Yeah.
Is he talking right now, Chris? Is he up there?
Yeah, he's talking, but he's mostly talking about business. You know, he's at the American Enterprise Institute, so they're focusing mostly on business.
Yeah, he's not going to talk about the...
Yeah, don't know if there's going to be Q&A.
The girl thing.
No, there'll be a lot of Qs, but no A.
Yes, exactly.
And again, remember that this stuff is all... This is the way this works right now. We are 2 months away, just about 2 months away from the vote in Iowa. So this is when the takedown starts. You remember that Howard Dean was leading in Iowa at this point 8 years ago, and all of a sudden the wheels come off. A lot of that is this opposition research that is just being sort of storage warehoused until they get close.
Well,
they love the fact that Herman Cain is taking the air out of Rick Perry. They're worried about Rick Perry because he's got the money
right
to go the distance. Herman Cain does not.
Well, you know, I was reading a story this weekend, David, that, you know, I mean, obviously people writing those pieces about the fact that, look, you know, he actually could be the nominee. That's, you know, pundits could all be wrong.
It's happened. I mean, by the way, that's why Barack Obama became the nominee. All the pundits were wrong.
Right. Yeah, this is where was this? Oh, Christian Science Monitor. Why Herman Cain confounds pundits might win the GOP nomination. Again, this is before this story broke, though. I mean, how do you think this will play out?
I don't know. At the end of the day, all I'm reading right now is what is available. And the women, and Chris, you've been doing, you do the opposition research for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
It seems to me that the women signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Yep.
So you may not get any direct quotes. This is all going to be sort of third hand. He said, she said, they said. And if he can make himself the victim, if he can be the guy, and by the way,
which they're already doing, right? I mean, that's already doing. Yeah,
exactly. And here's a guy whose campaign manager is smoking a cigarette in their video. This is Mad Men, okay?
It totally is.
Sexual harassment was a good thing. What's that? He'll take everybody out for a drink.
They grope more secretaries before 9 a.m. than most of us do all day. That's right.
Exactly. No, I think it could work for him. He'll turn it around.
Yeah, with that creepy smile. Exactly.
You can turn the world on with that creepy smile.
Yeah, that's probably how he bags the dames, that smile. Yeah. Just, ooh, yikes. All right.
Can I get a song for Herman Cain? He turns the world on with his creepy smile.
Yeah, exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, she's kind of weird that way.
Yeah, she's kind of weird a bunch of ways.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Do you think Herman Cain actually will say, I don't have the facts to back this up? I don't think I harass those women. Not that he has the facts to back up anything he says,
right,
including his 999 plan. But he does have a creepy smile. 34 minutes after the hour, it's time to get rude.
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
I went to my first Occupy in San Francisco. I know
how was it?
It was awesome. I know you've been hanging in New York. Now, obviously, we gave some money to Scott Olson, who, in Oakland. So I didn't make it to the Occupy Oakland. But, that seems to be the anomaly, fortunately, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like we've had a lot of, problems with police in other cities, right?
Actually, they arrested people a couple of times in Nashville, including, the use of pepper spray and... in fact, they arrested a couple of dozen protesters in Nashville, and a judge there, the magistrate they were brought before, told the police, no, you actually, I'm not going to allow you to charge them with anything. Release
good.
Them.
Wow, good.
Yeah.
And then they went back the next day, were arrested again, And the same thing happened, and finally they got the message. The police in Nashville got the message to stop arresting the occupiers there.
Well, you make a good point this week on the Oakland thing, Rude. You say, you know, you watch the videos of the raid, and you want to say, you realize these are unarmed civilians, most of whom committed the crime of trespassing, right? You're just going to go all stormtrooper on their hippie asses? And you say, you know, the action passed overkill at the point where the first tear gas canister hit the air.
Oh, yeah. Obviously it was some kind of show of force to try to intimidate them and chase them off. But I think they've got the wrong crowd for this. You
right.
know, the desperate times call for desperate measures. And the most desperate are not the police right now. It's the people that are out there protesting for what they see as the economic soul of the country.
Right. Well, I mean, and let's not, you know, forget that it's Republicans that are cutting budgets for police, you know, police officers across the country. As you say, no to Oakland Police Union, you could probably use the protesters' help.
Yeah, yeah. The Oakland has cut several hundred police positions, and the numbers are down because of budget cuts, because of attrition, and not rehiring, and they are down. They're supposed to have 925 police officers, is what the former police chief
right.
said, and now there's only going to be, I think there's 636. So,
yeah.
And then they sent half of them down to break up a protest, which if I was a criminal in Oakland, man, it would have been party time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but you also do a quick note to the scattered few protesters. Don't throw at the cops. Don't give them an excuse to gas you. Nonviolence only works if you actually don't get violent. You said you want to win the revolution, get the police on your side. And I agree. I know in other places there was a report of somebody, you know, saying to a cop, you deserve a raise, and he just smiled, you know.
Oh, in New York, that a lot of the rank-and-file cops are starting to say, look, you know what, we actually do support them, because the unions up here have been so strongly behind the protests, and that's the kind of support that needs to happen, mm-hmm. and once the police unions get on board, something's going to have to change, or I actually kind of fear what could happen.
Yeah. Your piece was great this week on the Occupy movement and the unruly reclamation of public spaces. And you talk about during the heat wave in the 30s, I mean, the people slept outside because they had to. But you talk about perhaps the greatest triumph of capitalist materialism in the U.S. has been to isolate us and keep us out of public spaces for any other purpose other than consumption, right?
Right. Yeah, as long as you're out there, in a public space, whether it's in a park on a summer day, where you're buying things off carts and using public transportation to get there, or at a football stadium on a weekend, where
right.
obviously there's tons of money going to the economy, that's fine. But the second that the use of the public space becomes something that doesn't automatically benefit the wealthiest in some way, then it's gotta be crushed.
Well, and you draw that distinction with the Tea Party, that of course they exist to give aid and comfort to the powerful, so it's, you say, mostly met with head patting approval by officials and businesses.
Right. And once the Tea Party was co-opted by the Republican Party, then there was anybody who came out against what was going on at their protests was condemned for being for not supporting people's right to assemble and right to speech, which, huh, those same people are condemning now that supported the Tea Party.
Well, and you make some good points about, you know, that I noticed when I was down at Occupy San Francisco this weekend, is that it's, you said the genius of it, it's not being done online. You say down at Liberty Plaza, everything's done in an affirming, low-tech way, not just the human microphone. The schedule for the day is written up on a marker board.
Yep.
There's a library with actual books. People hand out flyers. You know, and everyone talks, the main thing. You say anytime Rude Pundit has been there, either to interview people or just take part, he's been able to simply enter into a conversation about the occupation, about the economic disparity in America, and about what can be done. There's a new concept, huh? Talking.
Right.
In person.
Yeah, did you experience that when you were down there?
I did. I talked to humans in person.
And they desperately want to talk.
Yeah.
They desperately want someone to hear what they have to say. And it's not just the people that are standing there with signs that are doing that. I mean, I've gone just with people that are just sitting on benches waiting for the next meeting, just sit down, and they want to talk about this. It's the focus of it gives it that energy.
Well, and you know, again, here's the difference with the Tea Party, right? I mean, you know, Fox News, first of all, created it. They had the talking points. So there was none of this, I don't get what the this is about. Because as you say, what's frustrating for a media so used to talking about to talking points and sound bites is that consensus goals are not the point of Occupy Wall Street. Instead, it's to demonstrate how power can be wielded without money substituting for speech. It is the reclamation of face-to-face dialogue that's been moderated and regulated and filtered through so many talk shows and, you know, Facebook and Twitter and blogs, right?
Right. That all of a sudden, I mean, let me say that I think that the Occupy movement in some ways is a positive outcome of Facebook and Twitter and blogs letting people think they have a voice that others will respond to. So yeah, that gives us trolls and hate mail and all the things that we hate. But that also has given people a chance to say, wait a minute, I have a voice that I can use. Now let me transfer that to a place where there can be actual action.
Right.
Yeah.
And that can only happen when there's feet on the ground and real voices in the air.
Rude, what's going to, you know, obviously this freak snowstorm in October, I know that some people left, but I know that a lot of the protesters there are saying they were not going away. You know, some left, they'll be back. This is not going away. What do you think?
I think that there's going to be a hardcore group that stays through the winter, and that in the spring it's going to explode again. And once we get to spring and summer, this is going to be it's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the hardcore group will stay through winter is something that I think is going to inspire a lot of people. You know what I'd like to do?
What's
if
that?
I could throw in a plan.
Yeah.
I would like, and hey, maybe this could start something. Maybe I can organize something. I would like people on the day after Thanksgiving, instead of going out and buying a bunch of crap that they don't need, buy one blanket, and on the day after Thanksgiving, everybody go down on the biggest shopping day of the year, go to their local Occupy, and give them blankets.
Yeah. By the way, in the cold, like in New York, they're saying on their official website, they need winter coats, hot beverages, thermal heaters, all-weather subthermal sleeping bags, tarps, all-weather tents.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, you know, take those in person, or there's a storage space, you know, that they
right.
have, yeah, for folks there. So anyway, that's all good stuff. Now, Herman Cain, let's get you wrote a great piece about the creepy Herman Cain video even before this story broke.
Oh God, and I was hearing you earlier. I would love. I want to see that smile. I can't wait for the first person to edit that into a.
Well, the smoking ad. Then you already said these men are stalking. You said the whole ad seems to say these men are stalking. You'll probably need a restraining order in order to survive the weekend. And now this story breaks. Yes.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like Mark Block is this creepy advance man, you know, going to check out the bitches that he can later hook up with.
Oh, man. Oh, yes. Oh, man. The end of your post before the story broke is, none of this means Rude Pundit thinks Cain is any more than a greedy exploiter of idiot Republicans who long for anyone who's not Romney. What is this story going to do to him, do you think?
I think it's actually going to I think that a vast majority of the people that support Herman Cain will have that same deluded Sarah Palin reaction, which is, it's just the media.
He's a victim.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Yes, he's a victim. And, you know, remember, sexual harassment only matters if it's Democrats that do it.
Yeah. Well, their campaign already said, sadly, we've seen this movie play out before. A prominent conservative targeted by liberals simply because they disagree with his politics. I mean, first of all, go ahead.
Ask Gary Hart. Ask Bill Clinton. Right. You know, let's not even go down the whole road of poor conservative being targeted for sexual harassment claims, because really, we've got an impeachment Trump card.
Did you hear his skeevy spokesman on the phone? You can almost, you can almost hear him smoking furiously.
He was on Chuck Todd's show this morning.
Right.
And they were talking about whether or not he thinks people should smoke. And I'm like, I don't think that's really the point of the video. I think it's whether or not people should support incompetent grifters for president.
Rude Pundit with the tip-in at the buzzer. All right, let's see you next week, Rude.
All right.
All right, rudepundit.blogspot.com. 45 minutes after the hour, Eric Bowler in Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ah, It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We had someone walk through the snowstorm to find him for me. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
I had to have Yukon Cornelius go find him. Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
So I was saying I went to my first Occupy San Francisco this weekend when we were up there for Sexy Liberal. And, you know, you just have a great, you know, as usual, to the point piece about something is not adding up when it comes to the ongoing Occupy mm-hmm. Wall Street protests. And you use all of the names that the right-wing media have called the protesters, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a laundry list. I mean, anarchists, racists, anti-Semites, fringe, spoiled right. rich kids, and on and on and on. And then you take a step back, and there's the CBS New York Times poll this week. It shows a clear plurality of Americans support Occupy Wall Street. So, I mean, the right wing is just completely freaked out about Occupy Wall Street, calling it every name in the book. And then, and by the way, you know, it's being yeah. supported by Americans. And as I point out, this really is one of the most glaring failures in sort of right wing media propaganda. You would think if they kept hitting the same target over and over in such over the top rhetoric that they could sort of dent it, but
yeah.
no one's paying attention to them.
As you say, we may be witnessing one of the right wing media's all time great failures.
Yeah, in terms of propaganda and messaging, I mean, just nobody is paying attention to this, but mostly because it's just so hysterical. I mean, nothing could be that, you know, awful and evil to its core the way they're describing, you know, this
yeah.
protest. So
yeah.
it's fun to watch them freak out, and it's heartening to know that they're having no effect whatsoever.
Yeah, and I love your next piece is perfect. The you know the real story in Fox News is birtherism. And so that's why Rick Perry, because you're saying it seems surprising that he would, you know, go back to birtherism.
Oh, yeah.
But you say, you know, Fox News has done more to mainstream birther charges this year than any other media outlet.
Yeah, a week ago today, everyone was sort of scratching their head, like, why is Rick Perry suddenly talking about Obama's birth certificate and his grades and suggesting we don't really know who he is? And a fair amount of conservatives came out and criticized him, said it was a foolish thing to do. But the thing they should be criticizing is Fox News. Fox News created this environment, particularly last spring with Trump, where it was totally okay. It was totally mainstream. It was totally acceptable to say anything you wanted about the completely debunked conspiracy theory. So I think Rick Perry was just tapping into what Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and the right-wing bloggers have been saying all year, which this is totally mainstream. It's nothing unusual. And why shouldn't a presidential candidate be talking about it?
Right. Which, more importantly, as you point out, that's what's happened to an entire party in our country. The conservative movement has handed itself over to basically Fox News and Limbaugh, which is just, you know, sad. Sad. Let's dive in.
This is how it's killing the Republican Party. That was a classic example last week of Perry and birtherism. That is how the right-wing media is killing the Republican Party.
Yep. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Bill O'Reilly on Oakland.
At least 200 arrests were made, scores of people injured, including a number of police officers. Property was destroyed, and the cops used tear gas and beanbag rounds to disperse the surging protesters. Enter the Radical Move On organization, which is funding some of the occupiers. Now, it's obvious that Move On was ready to exploit any violence so they could portray the USA as a police state. That is part two of the Occupy movement. First, demonize capitalism, tell the world how unfair the U.S. economic system is, then show the world the cops are fascists.
Wow. I love that he thinks that we're that organized once again.
Yeah. It's all very well plotted out for an organization that has no clear leadership, that it's completely grassroots. But O'Reilly just sort of takes a step back and can connect all these intricate dots. You know, it's pure conspiracy. And again, Occupy Wall Street has Fox News in particular just completely freaked out because it's everything they hate, and they have this guttural reaction to seeing these people But the also thing that's driving them crazy is it seems to be, you know, Americans seem to be kind of supporting it, which,
yeah,
which drives them nuts.
Yeah.
Which means everything they've done for the last 10 years has sort of been in vain.
Now here is Stuart Varney in his fancy British accent to tell us what's un-American.
I am shocked. Shocked. 26%. One quarter of Americans want their children to grow up and demonstrate on Wall Street in favor of the forced redistribution of wealth. Yeah. Dare I say it, Bill, that is un-American. Yeah. Sorry, but that's what I think.
Protesting is un-American.
That's right.
Okay.
For things you don't believe in, yes, it's un-American.
All right. America was founded upon protest against the British rule.
Kristen Benz on Kabuto. Here we go.
I'm all for capitalism. I mean, that's what made this country great.
Sure.
And Occupy Wall Street is just absolutely ridiculous. These kids need to go to work, get a job, pay off their student loans, and quit bitching about capitalism.
You forgot to say take a shower.
Oh,
you know,
that's
you don't
right.
Look that. They're so disgusting. I've been down there.
It's stinky hippie humor, Eric. Can't get enough of it.
Well, it's funny. They can't make up their mind. These are either spoiled rich kids from Connecticut who don't have anything better to do, or they're sort of the disgusting hippie unemployed losers. So they sort of swing back and forth between their interpretation of these people, and they can't keep anything straight. It's sort of a complete kitchen sink approach.
Eric, I love when you write a piece and then we have someone gives a soundbite to exactly what you said.
Exactly.
Greg Gutfield and the name calling.
The gatherings have morphed into a destructive mix of the homeless, the criminal, the left-wing agitators, pervs, drug dealers, aging anarchists with hygiene issues, and misguided grad students mad at daddy.
Wow.
There it is.
That was a whole ball of name-calling. Yeah.
There it is, the whole thing. Yeah. And again, so why do a plurality of Americans support them? I mean, that's the simple question.
Yep.
If these are just sort of the dregs of society, why do people across the country seem to agree that they have a point? And again, that's why the name calling just gets more and more intense, because people at Fox News can't understand why they're on the losing side of this disconnect.
Yeah, and Eric, here's my favorite: is that the season has come early this year, and by that I mean the global warming denying season.
Oh God!
On Fox News, when a snowstorm proves there's no global warming.
Mr. Gore, an inconvenient truth. I call it a bold-faced lie. Sorry about that. Global warming. Here's your global warming.
That was the famous Christmas blizzard last year, but take a look at this. The East Coast getting blasted again, and it's not even Halloween yet. Give me a break.
See, it's cold in the winter in the East, Eric, so yes.
Oh, it's great. I mean, I actually like it when they sort of advertise their ignorance on such a massive level to suggest.
Yes, it's climate change.
There's no climate change, and of course, freakishly strong storms are the hallmark of climate change. But,
thank you.
And the fact that they think they're being so clever just makes the whole thing
makes it even better.
It's so much better.
All right, one last one. Charles Gasparino.
It gets me going when I see Larry Fink, who I really like, CEO of BlackRock, Jeff Immelt. Actually, no, man, I like them. Nice guys. That they will go out there and say nice things about Occupy Wall Street, which is essentially advocating a Marxist-Leninist revolution versus they would never say that about the Tea Party. Right. And when you have corporate America embracing Occupy Wall Street versus someone, a group that wants to lower, make government smaller.
Wow. We got a few more name calls right in the end there, Eric.
Yeah, and it's another disconnect. I mean, why if people who are in the business and who understand economics, to understand what was done to the economy in 2008, if this is such a radical movement, why are they expressing some sympathy again? Totally.
Exactly. Eric, thanks so much. See you next week.
Okay, talk to you.
There he goes. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Glenn Greenwald next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm I'm here. I'm just the undead. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Halloween. The Sexy Liberal Show has killed me. I am zombie stuff for Halloween. Enjoy, Ustream. Don't I look creepy? Let me do that creepy Herman Cain smile for you. There you go. All right, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Actually, the microphone was in the way. They didn't see it. There you go.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Thank you, San Francisco! Okay, let's see. Oh, Lo May writes, Steph, so the other day I was having lunch with my friend Alan, and I said to him, you know, I'm a horrible mom, and I feel like a silly teenager. My kids, 8 and 9, asked me to take them to see the musical Les Miserables. When it was in town, but I said no because it was too expensive given their ages. However, then I turned around and purchased the meet-and-greet tickets to Sexy Liberal for myself. Hmm. So selfish. Anyway, I was telling my friend I feel really silly because although I grew up in L.A., I don't really care about stars. I'm really very excited, almost giddy about coming to the show to meet you. With all the sympathy Alan could muster, he reached across the table and said, you really shouldn't feel bad because Stephanie Miller is not a star. Other than you, I've never even heard of her. Oh, Alan, thank you.
That's awesome.
So sweet. Oh. Yes, and the usual letters of concern, Chris, that I not have my that I not stroke out before their show,
right.
Whichever Sexy Liberal show is coming soon to them. Let's see. Eric writes, morning, Steph, morning, Mooks. So looking forward to seeing you in Portland in January. Well, that's quite a push that I'll still be around by then. When's that? January 7th? What do you think? I don't think I'll survive for that.
I'll survive Christmas.
Exactly. I'll be celebrating my 40th birthday with my favorite older but younger than me looking sexy liberals. Can't think of a better way to turn a quadrigenarian than with the SM Sexy Liberal Show. That's in the thanks for making the trip. Steph, if you drop dead before January and ruin my 40th birthday. See, most people just concerned about themselves.
Yeah, you're going to ruin a whole birthday there if you drop dead,
and my first night out in town in years, no pressure. I'll do my best to be understanding, but for God's sake, eat a sandwich. Don't have your rose moment. I don't know, that may be... Buffalo, I think. I'm not really sure.
But her moment was due to drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, well, who knows what mine's going to...
All right.
Between the butterfly and the booze, you know.
There you go. Drugs I'm and done alcohol. With the butterfly. I fired the butterfly.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
You Donald Trumped its ass.
The Lunesta...
You're fired.
The Lunesta butterfly has flown off. Flown away.
Good.
All right. I love this. Jim, did you see when asked about when he was asked by a reporter yesterday, Herman Cain, whether he'd ever been accused of harassment by a woman? He responded by asking a reporter, have you ever been?
Yeah. I know you are, but what am I?
Exactly. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
See what you're doing again? It's apples and oranges.
It's apples, have oranges, you? And hoes.
I am rubber, you are glue.
That's hilarious. Okay. See how he did that?
Are you running for president? Are you running for president?
The reporter's like, no.
That's not an
that's
answer.
Why I'm...
Yeah. Not allowed to answer a question with another question.
Remember, he gave us a strategy before about if people ask him anything about any foreign leader or foreign policy, he says, just go, I'm going to say, how is that creating one job? See what I did there? See how I deflected my complete lack of knowledge in foreign affairs?
Did you harass that woman? How is that creating one job?
It's not. See?
I was creating two jobs.
Well, no, he
and they did some jobs on me, but that's a whole different thing.
Oh.
That's apples and oranges.
Mike and Raleigh with a tribute to Herman Cain behaving inappropriately. Herman Cain behaving.
Nine. Hold the cheesy breath. We have chili, pepperoni.
Yeah, harassed him. I harassed him 999 times. What's your point?
So, Herman Cain just
How's
got,
that great in one job?
Herman Cain just got cheesier.
Yep.
That's just what he thought he couldn't. Oh, wee. Okay. Lots to get to. Hey, Mistress of the Dark coming up on Halloween.
Cool.
In just a few minutes. Elvira. Hmm. Or is she bringing her giant rack in studio for Jim or no?
No.
Just on the
She's party. Actually on the Joy Behar show tonight, so she's in New York.
Oh, all right.
Yes.
He always just puts naughty pictures of her up on the internet when she calls in anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So you can just get a visual.
There's a picture of her up on your website right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
That was not that naughty, though.
Well, Jimmy, it's not that hard to find them. Just Google. All right. Glenn Greenwald, our buddy, our pal, has a new book out, With Liberty and Justice for Some, How the Law is Used to Destroy Equality and Protect the Powerful. What perfect timing for the Occupy movements. Good morning, Glenn.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good. You know, I don't. You probably obviously wrote this before all this happened, but what perfect timing with the Occupy movement going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think that Occupy movement is about, you know, just simply protesting the existence of inequality, and I think it's actually deeper than that. I think it's about protesting the illegitimacy of the inequality, the idea that, you know, the nation's most powerful financial and political elites can shield themselves from the rules to which everyone else is bound. And so, yeah, I think the protest movement is pretty much a perfect expression of what the book is about.
Well, and Glenn, how, you know, we've just been talking to, you know, Eric Bollard and Rude Pundit, but about, I mean, how galling is that in some ways, that protesters are getting arrested while, you know, the, as you said, the elite perpetrators of Wall Street malfeasance are have gone free. A lot of this, I remember people talked about, you know, when Matt Taibbi wrote the piece for Rolling Stone. What's your take on that? Why has nobody really been prosecuted at a high level?
Well, I mean, this is, you know, I think the point is that law was supposed to be the kind of guarantor of at least an equal playing field, not outcome inequalities, but at least an equal playing field. And what it's become instead is a weapon used by those in power to entrench their power and kind of shield their ill-gotten gains, exactly the opposite of what law was supposed to be. It's a weapon wielded by the nation's elite. And I think, you know, having the police guard the criminals who committed the crime of that created more misery and suffering of the last decade than any crime other than maybe the Iraq War, protecting those criminals while pepper spraying and tear gassing and mass arresting people who are peacefully assembling to protest those crimes is really, you know, a perfect illustration. Of course, you know, Dick Durbin in 2010, while he was serving in the Senate, while the Democrats controlled the Senate, said that the banks own basically the political process, the Senate and the political process. And that's the reason why politicians, and even in the Justice Department and the executive branch, are afraid to act against them, because they do wield such power in the political process.
Yeah, and Glenn, I mean, I think that, you know, we certainly all have frustration, but, you know, I have to say I share some of Barney Frank's frustration. I agree with you that, you know, clearly the system is broken, there's too much money, you know, in politics, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, as Barney Frank said, where were you during the midterms when, you know what I mean, you have to give at least him some credit that he wanted some financial reform. I mean, obviously it got watered down because of the political process. But
well, huge numbers of people poured their energies and heart and soul and money, all of which were very scarce, into first electing Democrats in 2006 and giving them control over the Congress, and then electing them again, including giving them control of the White House in 2008, and watched Wall Street thrive and the banking industry thrive and corporate profits reach all-time highs while there was mass joblessness and huge foreclosures. And I think, you know, you can look at, for example, Chuck Schumer, who the New York Times called the greatest servant of Wall Street, who's sort of the money man of the Democratic Party, and believe that both parties are captive to the same interest. So I don't think it's surprising that lots of people decided that their energies were better spent working outside of the political system, such as the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Well, exactly. I mean, I, you know, I was down at my first one this weekend in San Francisco, and you know, and I do get it. I mean, you know, as our friend Randy Rhodes always says, this is the biggest bank heist of all time. I mean, you know, I love how, first of all, George Bush is the one that did the bank bailout. You know, I mean, it's interesting how, you know, I say he's like that guy that throws up on your carpet and then just like puts a piece of paper towel down before he leaves and just good luck with that. I mean,
He certainly did. He did the bank bailout. Of course, you know, President Obama was a very vocal supporter of the bailout as well. And, you know, I think that's sort of the point. And you look at, you know, other crimes of the Bush era, torture and illegal eavesdropping and obstruction of justice, the attack on Iraq. These are all things that, you know, the other party, the current administration, has very actively protected from any form of accountability, have prevented the victims of those crimes from having a day in court. And so it doesn't really seem like you can look at these crimes and characterize them as Republican or Democratic crime.
Well, I mean, the bank,
Democratic, you know, it sort of seems like the political class is conspiring to shield them from accountability.
But, the, you know, the banks, like I say, this is the thing that drives me the craziest, is like, it just sort of, this sort of happened. You know, I mean, they knowingly did this. You know what I mean? It's that's the thing that's different. It's like, oh, if, you know, we had to bail the banks out because it's the whole financial system. But they did knowingly commit crimes.
Yeah, they knowingly committed crimes, just like people who are sitting in prison for drug dealing or bank robbery or embezzlement. And, you know, the other amazing thing is not only did they commit crimes, and it would be one thing to argue that there's a reasonable argument to make that the bailout was necessary. I don't agree with that policy, but you could at least make the argument. But I think the reason for the anger is that while the bankers got bailed out, the middle class and the working class didn't, and was sort of left to just twist in the wind. And this kind of disparate treatment, where it's the most powerful people who get protected by the government and shielded by the government, while ordinary Americans are prosecuted in larger numbers than anywhere in the world and sort of ignored and their interests are trampled upon, is this two-tiered system that I do think is driving so much citizen outrage and a loss of faith in the legitimacy of our political culture.
Well, and Glenn, why, you know, when we've heard this over and over, they're, you know, too big to fail, then why can't we just go, well, then they're too big and they need to be broken up, or otherwise this will happen again,
right? That was one of the bizarre aspects of the financial reform bill. This is the argument that Senator Feingold made when he voted against it, was that, you know, he wasn't being a purist and saying that it didn't go far enough. He was saying it actually made the situation worse, because what it did was it created the illusion that Wall Street reform had been done, and yet it actually made the too big to fail problem is bigger now than it even was before 2008. We have fewer institutions. The society is even more dependent upon them than before. Markets would be more disrupted if they failed. And so it's just bizarre to have watched this problem spawn this massive crisis and watch the problem get worse. But that's what happens when you don't investigate and bring accountability. You don't expose the root causes. You don't identify the culprits. And so they can continue doing what they were doing before.
He must be psychic. With perfect timing, the book is With Liberty and Justice for Some, How the Laws Used to Destroy Equality and Protect the Powerful. Glenn Greenwald, always great work. Love your documentaries, and good luck with the book.
Good to talk to Stephanie.
Thank you, Glenn. There he goes. He didn't even know Occupy movement was going to happen.
But has he created one single job? No, he has not.
No, that's apples and oranges. Why do you bring that up? All right. Herman, you know, it's always the statements are more entertaining than even the usual, the original accusation. So we will talk about Herman Cain's response to the unpleasantness.
Yeah. Someone on your Facebook page says that Herman Cain was a lot less creepy when you used to think of him as an asexual creature.
Now he seems creepier.
Yeah.
And cheesier.
Yeah.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like him?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, 24 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Check it out. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Oh, Herman Cain, I love you so much in such an inappropriate way. Herman Cain.
I'm not supposed to be running. I'm not supposed to win. And I'm not supposed to be standing up here with this hat on, but I'm doing it.
Oh, God, he's going all Dr. Seuss on our ass now. This just gets so good.
You would not like me in a hat. You would not, what?
Uh-huh.
Like me with
he's
a bat.
He's that cat in that hat. Mm. He's a... I love his spokesman told Politico, the candidate indicated to campaign officials he was, quote, vaguely familiar with the charges. Cain then said, this was yesterday, he has thousands of people working for me at different businesses over the years. He could not comment until I see some facts or some concrete evidence. You would have to have the facts to back that up.
Yeah.
If you're going to say that.
I may have slept with some of them. Maybe as many as 999 of them, but no, that's apples and oranges.
I just loved the political report on this yesterday. He was then asked, have you ever been accused, sir, in your life of harassment by a woman? He breathed audibly, glared at the reporter, and stayed silent for several seconds. After the question was repeated three times, he responded by asking the reporter, have you ever been accused of sexual harassment? Nicely done. Nicely deflected. That doesn't seem too guilty.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Especially 37 seconds of silence before he's
right.
Yeah, just answering
tumbleweeds.
Not answering.
Barroom doors. You would give anything to be in the thought bubble while the machinations were just. He's a connector. That's why he's doing well.
I believe that I'm doing so well because I'm connecting with the people.
He allegedly connected with
something. Hey. Yes, some more than others, ladies and gentlemen.
Inappropriately. Allegedly.
All right, so he's just denied it again this morning. His campaign issued a lengthy statement. You know, the longer the statement, you know, the truer it is.
Sure, absolutely.
You can see him in the campaign office furiously filling out the blue book. How many words is this? But but not directly denying Politico's report that at least two women had accused the Republican candidate of inappropriate behavior during his tenure as head of the National Restaurant Association. In a phone interview with Fox News, Kane spokesman repeatedly evaded questions about whether the trade group made payments to two female employees who expressed discomfort with Kane's actions.
Has there been any mention of a high-tech lynching yet?
Jim. I said that last hour. He's played the race card enough that I've been any second now this will be a high-tech lynching. Let's see. He said, all I'm telling you right now is this is something the establishment is trying to attack Mr. Kane on. Pressed by Geraldo Rivera as to whether there'd be any cash settlements, he said, well, you'll have to get that from the National Restaurant Association. We'll have to gather that and bring that back to you. We don't know if we have that information.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Yeah, the campaign has not responded to the substance of the report in any detail.
Dear.
Let's see. The statement that they put out described Kane as a persecuted political insurgent. That has the whiff of high-tech lynchiness.
Yeah.
Facing down a hostile media and a national political elite. Trademark. And just a prominent conservative targeted by liberals.
Whatever.
Blah, blah, liberal media. And he was already defending the creepy smoking ad yesterday.
Yeah.
Young people of America, all people, do not smoke.
Okay.
It is hazardous and it's dangerous to your health. Don't smoke. I've never smoked, and I have encouraged people not to smoke.
And so it's not a cool thing to do.
It is not a cool thing to do.
But you should eat Godfather pizza, because that's good for you.
Yeah.
That'll keep you alive forever.
Well, he's a cancer survivor, as is Bob Schieffer, who interviewed him, and was pressing him on, you know, why? What is this ad about? Is it just weird, or is it, He said it was not intended to suggest that smoking is cool. He said, I'm not a smoker, but I don't have a problem if that's his choice. Oh, he used the choice word again. Choice.
Mm-hmm. We know how much Republicans love that word.
He said, Mark Block smokes. That's all the ad says. We weren't trying to say it's cool to smoke.
Why would you?
I respect about that, about Mark as a smoker. He never smokes around me or smokes around anyone else. He goes outside.
And
much the way you'd have to if Ron Paul were elected.
Right.
And the white telly lunch counters were reinstated. You'd have to go be black outside and not get your secondhand blackness on everybody inside. God, this Republican race just gets betterer and betterer, doesn't it? Oh, I love it. Love it. Love it. All right. So we have Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yep.
Our good friend.
On Halloween.
How did we swing that this year?
We're special.
Some of that sexy liberal cash? What's going on? We got a Halloween booking?
Herman Cain sexually harassed her, so she got a whole lump sum.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with all that on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's over. They know what you really are.
Fine. You found me out. I'm not a cool kid.
You suck!
welcome to my world. Is that Friday night in San Francisco?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that was your heckler. Your Ron Paul heckler.
Ron Paul for president. Obama's a war criminal. What? Hi. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Happy Halloween, everybody. Oh, here's going to be the What the Fox story. Guess what the Obamas are what Halloween candy they're serving at the White House.
Uh-oh, what?
With socialist communist treats, Jim. Box of White House M&Ms, a sweet butter cookie, and a serving of dried fruit.
Dried fruit.
Sure.
You know what? Dried fruit's good any other day. But on Halloween,
no,
come on.
That's wrong.
I mean,
it's gay and French.
A box of raisins? Come on.
Trying to make kids be
one
force
day
kids
out of
to
the
be
year.
Healthy.
Come on.
What? All right.
One day you can eat candy. Come on.
All right. Speaking of scary, it's scaring me how much this must be costing us on Halloween. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Good morning, my friend.
Hello, Stephanie. Oh, my God. Were you guys just talking about my boobs?
Yes.
Yeah, well, as we always do.
I know.
Yeah,
I thought you were supposed to talk about them every day, and I would just call in and check.
Yeah, well, you actually happened to be listening one time. We were talking about them, and you called in, and I said, that is what we talk about most days.
I know. That's what, I'm in New York. Excuse me, I can't talk.
Yes.
I'm I'm in New York, so I just assumed you guys were talking about my boobs, so I called in to say Happy Halloween.
Oh, thank you, honey. That's so sweet. You're well. You know, we do. Mm-hmm. We use them to, you know, our the deficit or Elvira's boobs bigger. We use them to, you know, they're apples and oranges and Herman Cain analogies.
Oh, apples and oranges. Yeah. Mine are more like grapefruits.
Yeah. More like pumpkins.
You're going to be on Joy Behar tonight.
I am going to be. She's going to be on me. I don't know which one.
Yes.
But yeah, that'll be exciting.
Well, you know, it was interesting. We were just in San Francisco for Halloween weekend doing Sexy Liberal Show, and Lisa and I were just saying, I wonder where Elvira is this weekend and how much it's costing somebody.
Well, yeah, I have been all over. I just went to Mexico, then Toronto, then Nova Scotia, Halifax,
wow.
Nova Scotia, then Kansas City, then New Jersey, then today New York. So you can hear my voice is giving out. I'm sorry. And I'm staring out the window at a giant Hershey Kiss about as big as a Volkswagen.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome.
You're not going to find that at the White House.
No, you're not. I'm right across from the M&M store, I guess, so it's staring right in my window.
Now, does it take you most of the year to get through your invitations for Halloween, or how do you decide?
Yeah, I decide on, you know, we kind of put them all aside, and then we wait till a few weeks before Halloween, and then we see which ones are offering the biggest treats.
And then jack them up for some cake.
Yeah, you know.
So, we were just doing a thing earlier that no one wants to dress up as a politician this year. Because I know you've done hilarious Sarah Palin and Christine O'Donnell spoofs, but nobody can sell that this year.
Thank you. Yeah, I would not dress up as a politician this year if they paid me $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, guns are still legal in the U.S., and I don't think it'd be a good idea.
Yes, you. I loved your.
NRA.
I loved your. I don't know if people saw the Elvira's Not a Witch. It was your spoof of Christine O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Hilarious.
Yes. I hope it's still running around on the internet somewhere. They should check it out. But, you know, I got to tell you, I'm so happy I'm in New York because I'm calling you at 10:30. I might move to New York just to do your show.
Yeah. Well, I tried that. I tried that for a while.
Yeah. You know, I remember. Didn't work out so good
for
you, huh?
How's that freak snowstorm working out in New York in October?
It was great. It was so bizarre. I was inside all day at a horror convention, so it worked out perfectly for me. But, you know, I think it cut down on the traffic a little. You wouldn't have believed it. I mean, it was like as high as your knees. It was crazy.
Yeah, I know. I think a branch fell on someone in Central Park. That would have been me, Chris. You know that would have been me.
Of course.
I had a lot of mishaps in New York.
New York chewed you up and spat you out.
Oh, yeah, like a bad kidney.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What? Yeah, I was going to go over to Central Park and walk around, and I just read that it's closed.
Oh, I know. Well, you know why? Because there's so many leaves still on the trees, and so it's creating a hazard because then there's so much weight from the snow. And yeah, don't do that, please.
Oh, the one thing I like to do in New York. It is.
Yes. Now, you know what? By the way, I always have the most delightful time when I see you. I went to your birthday party, and I got to hang out with Pee Wee Herman, which is always...
Yes. It was an eclectic crowd, wasn't it?
Yes.
Pee Wee Herman and RuPaul.
Yes, I saw him, yes.
Yeah, it was an incredible group. And I don't know if you noticed that Jambi the Genie and Miss Yvonne were there as well.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, awesome.
I know. It was like a Pee Wee Playhouse.
Like a hiney ho.
Make it like a hiney ho. It was like a Pee Wee's Playhouse birthday.
Yeah, yeah. And Pee Wee gave you a great toast, and it's always a little bit like a Fellini film. I love it. Your gatherings.
Thank you.
Now,
fun.
Honey, tell us about the show, the TV show.
The TV show, well, sad to say, it just ended in September. It was on for 1 year nationally, Movie Macabre, Elvira's Movie Macabre. But the good side is it's just coming out on DVD. Every other month, two more movies come out. And really, I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to see it, but it's much funnier and edgier than it used to be because I'm my own censor now.
Yes,
I noticed the standards are a little looser.
A little looser, yeah, definitely. And I've got a few actors on there, like Jack White from the White Stripes came on.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And, oh, my gosh, who else? Peaches Christ,
yeah.
Drag queen.
From San Francisco.
Awesome.
Thomas Dekker, who stars in Nightmare Before Elm Street and a million other movies. But so it was really fun, finally, you know, not just talking to myself on the couch, but interacting with other people. So it's really edgy and fun, and it's out on DVD. You can go to Elvira.com, and you can get them all. And also, Haunted Hills just was re-released for the 10-year anniversary. That's my second movie.
Right.
And I'm telling you guys, I did an audio commentary track with a few of the other actors from the movie that is so freaking funny. I mean, if I do say so myself, I was crying. I was practically wetting my pants. And it's on this video. And also some outtakes with me and Richard O'Brien generally just cussing at each other. But,
hilarious.
But there's lots of fun stuff on that new thing. I'm just like, pitching.
Do it, sister. Well, you know, I have to say, this Republican field this year is the best for comedy in years, isn't it? It's
Oh God, yeah. I can't even believe it. I mean, what's his name? I'm blanking out. Herman
Cain. Yes, the story of the morning.
What's up with that smoking man thing?
Somebody was saying earlier it's Mad Men because now he has these sexual harassment claims, you know, from a couple of different women, and it really is Mad Men.
Yeah. That hit this morning.
Yeah.
Love that. Oh yeah, I could tell that was coming down the pike. There's something about him.
You've seen that creepy smile before.
I have seen that kind of smile. Oh, I love that. And now, which Republican would you vote for if you had to vote for one tomorrow?
Oh, dear.
Of course you wouldn't.
No.
And but if you had to.
I don't think I could do it.
Well, I'd vote for Mitt Romney because I do him already. So
yeah.
Coming very handy.
Wow, you do him already? What?
Yeah, it just writes itself this year. Elvira, here's the other Elvira fun fact people may not know. You introduced me to my girlfriend. Elvira got me not just a doctor, but a girlfriend.
Lisa's
a friend of Elvira's. That's how I met her.
I don't think I knew that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. She was my real estate lady.
Yeah. Not many people have that story. How'd you meet your girlfriend, Elvira? Elvira hooked me up.
I know. I'm like Match.com.
of the undead.
Yeah, of the undead.
Yeah, because this sexy liberal tour has officially killed me, and I am Zombie Steph today. I am going as Zombie Steph just in time for Halloween. And
well,
so it's perfect.
You're doing that and the show. That blows me away.
Well, that's why I'm friends with the undead, like you. That's why Mistress of the Dark is my matchmaker.
Oh, my God. It's like me doing, if I was doing Halloween and Thanksgiving at the same time.
I wish I had just one holiday. All right. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Go to Elvira.com for all the good stuff. Thanks, honey. Have fun on Behar.
Thank you, guys. Have a fantastic Halloween. Oh, what are you wearing right now?
I'm Zombie Steph. I am the undead.
Yeah,
I've stolen your act.
All right. I don't even want to know what Chris and Jim are wearing.
They're just as mooks.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Love you, honey.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Elvira.
Oh, happy Halloween from the Mistress of the Dark.
Oh, how cute that you assume you're dressed up in Halloween costumes.
That's so cute. I totally forgot it's Halloween. I didn't even wear
Halloween?
Orange. Halloween.
You just said Halloween.
Halloween.
I know.
It's Halloween. I created a new holiday.
How are we doing on time, Paul?
Pete, you're on the Stephanie Miller show. Hello, Pete.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
I got a little bit of a concern and a little bit of complaint.
Okay.
Don't you think that's kind of double standard where you talk about Herman Cain and that twang, but if somebody were to do it to Barack Obama, you'd get all pissed off?
Barack Obama doesn't sound anything like Herman Cain.
No.
No, Jim's actually a very eerie impressionist, so
yes.
He actually just usually speaks exactly the way that person speaks.
It's hard to do Herman Cain sounding like Mitt Romney.
But
do you think it's racist to do his actual voice?
I think it's racist right now the way that you're doing it. Yeah.
Ah, I see.
I think it's more of a double standard.
Sounds exactly like Herman
Cain.
Okay,
but when he does Barack Obama, he sounds exactly like Barack Obama. You see him when he does Herman. That's the point of impressions.
I don't.
So,
you know, you might take it as an impression, but I think it's more like a double standard.
How would you like Herman Cain to sound?
Just
don't do it. In other words,
just ignore him.
Yeah.
Just say what he said, but don't
do the voice
in Jim's own voice.
Okay, but Jim, that's why I have a voice CD on the show because he does impressions of everybody in the news.
All right.
So if someone sounds like that, how is Jim supposed to make it sound less black?
It's talkist of me to do Tom Brokaw with it.
Making fun of speech impediments by doing that thing with Tom Brokaw.
There's a difference between an accent and a stereotype.
Yes.
Jim does the accent.
No, and some, and that's the other thing. Some impressionists are more like cartoony, over the top. Jim is literally close. It's the actual guy.
Yeah.
It's creepy. He does the voice dead on.
Obama's
so
hard to get a handle on because there's so many elements to
it. There's the staccato.
He's got that almost David Brinkley-esque phrasing, and he's got that Chicago flat A.
Right.
Right.
And you know, he can,
I'm glad we got that call because I think I got one email like that. Herman Cain impression is racist. What? What do you mean? Like, did nobody call and goes, you're making Mitt Romney sound too white and lame?
Right. Sound like he sounds lame and like lame ass white guy.
Some sort of flip flopping white guy without a soul.
Concern troll is very concerned.
So noted.
Yes.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son.
Stephanie Miller.
The Monster Man.
It is the
Graveyard Snack.
Stephanie Miller Show, happy Halloween. Yeah, we were looking at Elvira's Christine O'Donnell spoof. That is funny.
Yeah.
I'm you, just with bigger. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, the story just gets better and better and better. I was reading some details from the Politico story about the two. You know, the women, the unpleasantness, the Herman Cain unpleasantness with the two women.
The alleged unpleasantness.
Filed sexual harassment things that were settled. In one case, Politico has actually seen documentation describing the allegations and showing that the Restaurant Association formally resolved the matter.
Uh-huh.
Both women received separation packages that were in the five-finger range.
Wow.
Which is what you do when you're innocent.
Did you say five-finger range?
Five-finger range.
Excuse me? I don't know what I said. I don't know what I meant by that.
Holy cow.
Maybe I've just uncovered more details.
Yeah. Yikes.
And in which case, they may need some rejuvenation surgery.
Whoa. Oh, dear.
All five? Okay, I am.
And free twisty bread.
One source in this. All right. I just can't say it enough. Herman Cain just got cheesier. Okay, he's really cheesy. I thought he was cheesy before. Now he's the cheesiest. A source said in the Politico story, I happen to know there were sealed settlements reached in the plural. I think that anybody who thinks this was a one-time, one-person transgression would be mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
His spokesman yesterday said this was settled amicably among all parties many years ago.
Financially.
On Wednesday, the response shifted. The spokesman telephoned to assert he was not using settled in a legal context, simply meant the matter was resolved.
Yes. Of course, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
You and the liberal media and your...
Cain, who has been married to his wife Gloria for 43 years, perhaps we'll have to be calling Gloria for some response. Hello, calling Gloria.
Gloria. Oh, that's the other one. That's the other song.
He did tell... Cain did tell at least one campaign staffer this year about the possibility that claims of sexual harassment could surface.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, I don't want to say preemptively,
maybe
that'll be full,
maybe
but I'm just saying. That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. And we thought he had a lot of positions on abortion. Hey!
A
lot of positions Herman Cain's had, apparently, including five finger. Okay. Now, listen. Yes, I hear the fun facts on... Because he was just digging his way out of this hole. This is his fifth position, five. Here are the fun facts. His fifth position on abortion. He desperately wants to be the pro-life candidate, but he can't seem to figure out exactly what that means. After weeks of contradictory positions on whether abortion should be legal, Cain finally seemed to land on the idea that he is pro-life, no exceptions. In an attempt to clarify what no exceptions means, CNN reached out to him to get a definitive answer. As it turns out, no exceptions does not mean no exceptions.
Uh-huh.
See, that would be apples and oranges.
So there's an exception to the no exception
rule. Yes. According to the campaign, Cain now believes that abortion should be allowed in cases of rape, incest, and when the life of the mother is at stake.
No exceptions.
He has learned more about the issue, including the number of women affected in these incidents, as the advisor told CNN. Mm-hmm. Now he's studied the issue.
He's learned more of what he thinks about it.
Yes. On October 11th, he said abortion is her choice. On October 19th, he said, don't tell women what to do. on October 20th. He said a family can have an illegal abortion if they want to. Uh-huh. Probably the whole family's not.
Everyone's going to have the abortion.
Then he said pro-life, no exceptions. And then yesterday, pro-life with exceptions.
I dare say he's
There's
a flip-flopper.
There's an exception to the exception.
That's exactly. Flippity-flop.
When you could make Mitt Romney look principled, something has really gone awry. Now and Rick Perry has flip-flopped on debates.
Yes.
He had previously said he didn't think he was going to do anymore because he's so, you know, bad at them. All right, so now he says he will?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that nice?
Well, I don't know whether or not we're going to forego any debates or not, you know. There's going to be a lot of debates. I mean, shoot, I may get to be a good debater before this all over.
I don't think so. Did you see he said that I could handle Obama in a debate?
Okay, all I'd right. like to see that. I'd pay cash money to see that.
I would love to see the little pile of mincemeat in a cowboy hat
yeah.
after that debate. Yeah, Sunday he sought to reassure Republican primary voters concerned about his wobbly, they're calling them wobbly. Debate performances.
It's a little wobbly and slow. It's kind of like he has to think a long while about what he's going to say. And then
it's still not good.
When he says it, it don't come out good.
Yeah. You think, ooh, that's going to be good because that seems slow and reasoned. And
I'm not.
No, that was just still dumb. It was still dumb, just said really slowly.
I'm not talk good, no.
Said, I'm not worried a bit I'll be able to stand on stage with Barack Obama and draw a very bright line. Oh,
yeah,
me too. Me too, boy howdy.
I'll wait. I'll be over here. Just, Obama's wait for him to get his act together and his syntax.
Oh, I get cash money for that debate.
You're good, okay?
All right. He also defended his flat tax proposal, saying there's nothing wrong with lower revenue.
Really?
In
this
he
day
said,
and age
I don't,
of...
I don't want more revenue in Washington, D.C.'s hands. I want more revenue in the private sector, blah, blah, job greed, or blah, blah, blah.
What a moron.
By the way, he's at just 7% in the Iowa poll. Romney and Kane at 22 and 23% at 7.
Wow. Single digits.
He tried this one. We got a great debater, a smooth politician in the White House. That's not working really good for America.
It's not working good?
Not as much as your grammar.
That ain't not working no good, no how.
We don't need someone that talks no real good.
Well, he talks.
We need someone
party.
That talks more bad.
Mm. But then when the doing of stuff is to be done.
Mm. Yeah, if you look at his record, you need someone that talks badly and governs badly. That's what we really need.
We've already had that.
He accused Obama of pursuing an aimless foreign policy. Talking about leaving Iraq, he said he's lost his standing from the standpoint of being a commander-in-chief who has any idea about what's going on in those theaters. Really?
Hmm.
Well, we're getting out of Iraq, and we actually achieved the objective now of Afghanistan, which was killing Osama bin Laden, but okay. By the way, the U.S. deadline to pull out of Iraq set by George Bush, just in case those of you were wondering about that.
We are still going to have a big military presence in the Middle East, though. We'll be, in, you know.
And then he hit Romney on flip-flopping.
I've always been pro-life. I've always been a fiscal conservative. And Mitt's been on both sides of those issues.
By the way, David Plouffe had a good one at Meet the Press. He said, you get the sense with Mitt Romney, if he thought it was good to say the sky was green, the grass was blue to win an election, he'd say it. he said, while Kane seems to have tapped into something,
Waka, waka, waka.
I'd like to tap that. Plouffe said he found it interesting that Romney continues to have 75-80% of his party looking somewhere else, so it'll be interesting to see if he can turn that around. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Oh, Mayor John of West Hollywood to talk about the big party there. And, of course, Mondays with Edie McClurg as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Halloween. I am Zombie Steph. The Sexy Liberal Show has officially killed me. Thank you, San Francisco. You did it. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. I believe we'll have some pictures going up from the Sexy Liberal shows in San Francisco. Larry writes, Mom, I laughed so hard at Saturday's Sexy Liberal show this morning. My jaw still hurt, and I had not spent all night at Blow Buddies, not a hair salon. Why did I know that? I sort of knew that.
Oh, dear.
By the way, they have a nail salon named Handjob in San Francisco.
Of course they do.
Awesome. I love San Francisco. Dean writes, Staff, my wife and I saw the Saturday night show. And let's see. And you guys did not disappoint. Hilarious, fun, and, of course, very, very sexy. We were sitting directly in front of Lisa, my girlfriend. My God, she's more gorgeous in person than in the pictures. It's true. You did well. Wow. And Marcos Melissa's was a couple of seats down from her. We were in a progressive heaven. Aw, thank you. You're all very gracious to everyone at the meet and grow. I was drunk. Dean from Hercules, thank you. A good time was had by all. And Jim, hot girl on girl action. Lisa and I did a hot girl
really?
On girl cat. Well, you gotta give the San Francisco folks a little something, you know. Jack it up a little bit. Speaking of sexy liberalness real quick, dear Steph, Ann writes, my husband and I are traveling from New Orleans for the Sexy Liberal show in Austin. An early 45th birthday present for me. Want to know about the meet and grope. Does this activity take place before or after the show? After, I want to be met and groped. Oh, Ann, you will. And that's directly after the show. All right, Scott and... Oh, Austin. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Here we go.
Lone Star State liberals? No need to feel lonesome anymore. Because these seductive progressives are about to make the Dixie Chicks proud of Texas once again. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is thrilled to announce that they're coming to the most controversial town on their world tour. Austin, Texas.
If this is Austin, I still love you.
An army of the worst dregs ever to soil the face of the West.
Austin, Texas. On November 12th at the Long Center, John Feeblesang, Hal Sparks, and Stephanie Miller are coming to clear bush, I mean brush, and spread some liberal love. Tickets are available online at thelongcenter.org or by calling 512-474-5664. It's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Austin, prepare your city to be taken to its limits of laughter.
Woohoo! Speaking of which, not only did she show up, she showed up in a pointy hat.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg, in your sparkly little witch hat.
Hello. Ooh, it's scary out there. Ooh.
She's wearing her headphones under her chin so as to be able on the radio to wear her
well,
giant witch hat.
I'm going to take the hat off very soon.
Oh, don't do it. Happy Halloween, Edie.
Happy Halloweeny to you.
I've got somewhere.
Or is that Halloweeny?
I've got somewhere for you to go. To West Hollywood. Mayor John calling from West Hollywood, where the big party is tonight. Hi,
oh,
Mayor John.
Wow.
Good morning, Stephanie and Mooks.
Good morning.
Well, here I am. You know that feeling you have when you're throwing a party and you're worried nobody's going to come?
Oh, yeah.
It's not happening. It's
yeah.
Not happening in West Hollywood.
Lots of people are going to come in West Hollywood tonight, that's for sure.
We're expecting 400,000 people on Santa Monica Boulevard, the largest Halloween carnival in the world.
Yikes. I know what. I've broadcast from there. I've done it many years. It's the party of all
parties. It's wonderful weather and love and happiness among all.
Love and sex and magic, right, Mayor John?
Yeah, and you know, and I'm telling people, children are highly discouraged because we can't control what's going to be worn or not worn tonight. I'll just say that.
Yeah, well, hello. I discourage people from bringing kids to Sexy Liberal, and they did anyway. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about all y'all's bad parenting, but. My friend actually brought her 13-year-old, my best friend, and the first night I was like, no, we'll keep her backstage, we can. And then by the second night I'm like, oh, fine, just let her sit up, whatever. She's been exposed to me all her life.
Oh,
so we're waiting to see what the favorite costume of the evening is going to be, Occupy This or That or Pan Am Stewardesses, I'm not sure.
Awesome. What was I going to say? We had Chris Perry was at the show, you know, Perry versus Schwarzenegger up in San Francisco. So it was a big gay, sexy liberal show, and you're going to have a big gay night in West Hollywood tonight.
it's going to be gay, it's going to be straight, it's going to be all Southern California. We're going to start closing Santa Monica Boulevard at noon. So if you're anywhere on the west side of L.A., avoid this area, Santa Monica Boulevard near San Vicente.
Yeah.
You always want to avoid Santa Monica Boulevard if you're driving across town.
Yeah, you always want to avoid it anyway, so it has nothing to do with gayness.
I have my back roads that I go.
Yeah, there you go. Take Pico. It's my recommendation. All right, Mayor John, have fun tonight, honey.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Goodbye.
All right, bye. Goodbye now. Oh, by the way, remember Justin the Right-Wing Troll that called in last week? Mike and Raleigh has just a little tribute to Justin the Right-Wing Troll. Okay. Justin in Indianapolis.
Hey, Stephanie, I'm a new listener to the program, and the notion that they represent 99% of us, I find a hard time relating to it.
I'm born to tell you, I'm sitting on the fence. I tell you those hippies, they just don't make no sense. There's smoking dope, and they're banging on them drums. I'm paid to call and say they all just look like bums. Yeah, funded by the cooks. I'm only just a right-wing troll. Yeah, I'm living with my folks.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
Really good.
Raya is at Occupy Portland. Hey, Raya.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. I just wanted to tell you, I've been at Occupy Portland for the whole time, and we tried to take another park the other day. And while there were hundreds of cops lined up and, like, mounted police officers and paddy wagons,
right,
all of the protesters who were going to be arrested started singing, "We're Not Gonna Take It."
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure inspired by you, Stephanie.
There you go. Our original song during the Bush administration. All right, honey, you keep on keeping
it. Is a right-winger.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Sounds like that she has been outside for a long time.
I know.
Bad throat there.
I know. Bring, blankies and thermal heaters and stuff if you can to, like, Occupy Wall Street and stuff because they need it. I was at my first one this weekend in San Francisco. I went to Occupy San Francisco. It was awesome.
Good girl.
Yeah. By the way, Dawn, the smartest girl in class this morning, preemptively, actually in Vancouver, had a great subject line, whining callers in the 99% movement. Dear Mama, I couldn't help getting annoyed at listeners on Thursday complaining about the supposed lack of a leader or cohesive message in the 99% movement. One caller in particular began whining, demanding to know why the 99%ers didn't have a Martin Luther King Jr. to lead them. Some callers need to be given a history lesson. MLK Jr. first entered the public eye in 1955 during the Alabama bus boycott. The Civil Rights Act wasn't passed until 64, 9 years later. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen overnight. It should be noted the struggle for civil rights began after the Civil War ended in 1865, 90 years before MLK Jr. emerged as the movement's most influential and memorable leader. The Occupy Wall Street movement began in September, 6 or 7 weeks ago. If it took 90 years for the civil rights movement to find a leader who could command public recognition, empathy, an additional 9 years after that, finding that leader to achieve passage of the Civil Rights Act, why would someone expect the 99% movement to magically find the second coming of MLK Jr. to lead them in just 6 weeks? People need to stop waiting for someone to lead them. Get off their butts. Join the movement. As Gandhi once said, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. We have to work together to solve those problems ourselves instead of expecting some yet undiscovered charismatic leader to save us. As for the they don't have a cohesive argument nonsense, there is a cohesive message. The message is simple. We are the 99%. As for the other issues being discussed at these rallies, arguably virtually all of them are tied to that core message about the socioeconomic inequalities endemic to this nation, racial inequality, gender inequality, environmentalism, education, health care, including reproductive rights, unemployment, homelessness, all of these issues interconnected. Thank you, Dawn. Very good. Thank you.
How succinct.
Yeah. Exactly. Brooke in New York has been at Occupy. Hey, Brooke.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi. Go ahead.
I was told not to say that. Listen, I am just furious at the media coverage of Occupy Wall Street. I've been there once with my husband. I'm 56. He's 67 and a clergy person and a Vietnam veteran. We got a lot of pictures of our signs. He went down and delivered water, and then I made them like a couple of gallons of hot soup, which I delivered yesterday.
Aww.
And these are just amazing people. There are no, whatever crazies are there are being taken care of, as we should take care of each other. feeding them, clothing them, educating them. It's just a phenomenal movement, and it doesn't take much to support them. Find someone down there to bring them food, bring them water, and just show up when you can.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Mary in San Francisco on the Creepy Herman Cain ad, and that's before we found out how creepy he actually is.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you think the smoking ad is creepy, you ought to try the cowboy ad. It's like 10 times creepier.
Oh,
plus,
tell me about that.
Point.
Well, Carl Christian's dad.
Oh, that's right. No, but I heard about it. What is? How does the cowboy ad go?
It's just a strange. It's absolutely indescribable. It's you just have to YouTube it. It's just bizarre. I wanted to say though that I'd seen the show this Saturday. It was fabulous.
Thank
I missed
you.
Jim, but that's okay. I still had a wonderful time.
Aw, thank you.
And the one thing I wanted to say is that I took away from the show a really good line, which was Republicans act like renters. And Democrats act as though they have a mortgage on the country.
There you go.
And that is something people need to think about is that you can't think about solutions if all you're interested in is basically taking the money and running, and you don't care how the house if the house falls down.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Republicans are over there peeing on the TV because they don't care. They're just renting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd mention that I think that guy is probably never going to wash his phone again.
Oh, the one who I took my twatch. I tweeted my crotch.
The only thing was, every time he clambered on and off the stage, I kept wanting to rush forward and help you. I was a little worried.
I know. That's what people need.
A small stepladder or something, so you could gracefully clamber up.
Graceful's not my thing. It's not my bag. But thank you.
I was worried about you.
Aw, thank you, honey. I know, as people are about elderly women. Clambering on and off stages with new hips.
New hips?
I'm going to need new hips with one more of these shows, I tell you what. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue more Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You lied, Edie McClurg. You've not taken the witch hat off. You are remaining in character the entire hour.
I nailed it to my head.
23 minutes after the hour. Speaking of characters, Amber wants to talk to Jim. It's for you.
Yes.
Hi, Amber.
Hey, I got two requests of you guys.
Okay.
The first one is, could you please, please, please bring the Sexy Liberal Show to D.C.?
Oh, I think there are Sexy Liberal Elves working on that, I'm told. But go ahead.
Well, it's just that everyone else gets a break from politics. We get to sit in it all year long.
You're soaking in it. Eek. All right. What else can we do for you? In lieu of a Sexy Liberal right this moment, what can we do?
My birthday was on Friday, and I tried to call, and Rebecca's like, yeah, whatever, hang up.
Yeah, that's Rebecca.
Uh-huh. I was wondering if Jim could sing Happy Birthday as William F. Buckley.
Oh, wow. All right. I'm sorry, what was his name again?
Amber.
Amber. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Amber. Happy birthday to you. And my milkshake is better than Gore's.
All right. By the way, that was creepier than Herman Cain, wasn't it, Amber?
Yeah.
That was creepy. Creepy, 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 Jim. Okay. Wow.
Actually, I'm going to be in D.C. next weekend. So
will you? Well, why don't you
I'll go to her house and do
go do a one-man sexy liberal at her house.
Rich in scare her pretty good.
Ew. Rich in San Francisco. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, honey.
I'm one of those bad parents who brought their 14-year-old daughter to the Sexy Liberal on Saturday night.
Awesome. Bad parenting. Way to go. Nicely done. Good job.
And, well, the funny thing is, I was going to say, you tell your friend that her 13-year-old probably has heard everything at school already, because my daughter said that was nothing new.
Yeah, I know. She brought her 16-year-old, and I thought 13 was a little much, but she was...
No, it was too inappropriate for my wife, so she said, well, go take our daughter.
Yikes.
Rich, I've tried to warn people it's inappropriate for anybody, but they won't listen. I don't know.
It was our anniversary. We were supposed to do dinner and a show, and then my wife said, go take our daughter, and she'll have more fun. And we had more fun.
Oh, good. All right. Awesome, Rich. Great. Thanks for coming.
All right.
Thanks. All right. Bye. Wow. He had to have an anniversary date with his 14-year-old. Because she likes the fart jokes, presumably. Okay.
Did she enjoy the teabagging demonstration?
I don't know. I forgot to ask about that. Whoops.
Yeah.
I just...
Seen it.
Even my mom didn't get it. She saw it. I was able to use the same excuse I used when I walked in on her and my dad. I was like, oh, we were playing leapfrog, Hal and I. It's not
wrestling.
We were wrestling, and it's not important. Hal's not hurting, Mommy. Everything's fine. Oh, no. Speaking of boners, oh, Jim, the boner's going to remain neutral in the Republican primary.
I don't remain neutral in the primary.
He said, I think we've got a lot of good candidates. They're all so craptastic. He just can't pick one.
I'm just going to have to drink on it. This is what I have a sport.
He probably gets hammered during every Republican debate, right? He's like, oh, God.
It's an automatic drinking game.
They're ridiculous.
He's got a drinking game for each candidate.
So. Yeah. Just all of them are, oh, God, I got a drink.
I now
one's
know
more
why
awful
he
than
has
next.
That tanny, tan, tan thing going on. It's because he gets so flushed when he's drunk that he's covering it up. With
he's
a
just
big
a
spray.
Weepy orange boner, and there just is not a penicillin strong enough for that. That's all right. Rick Perry, the president.
The idea that a commander in chief would stand up and signal to the enemy a date certain of which we're going to pull our troops out, I think is irresponsible. Give that signal that we're going to pull them out is really bad public policy. Even more importantly, it's putting our kids' lives in
Well,
jeopardy.
It's George Bush's public policy.
Yeah,
so.
Apparently did that.
Herman Cain has no pull-out policy of any kind. You know I was going
to my man.
Okay. Rick Perry again.
He's making mistakes that are putting our kids... that are in theater, and I think future issues dealing with, whether it's in the Middle East or whether it's in the South China Sea, with our allies, putting all of that in jeopardy because of this unwavering, or I should say this wavering or this aimless approach to foreign policy, which he has.
Okay. All right, Governor. Horn, Leghorn, whatever. Michelle Bachmann, is she still in the race?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm doing exactly what I need to do in Iowa. I'm here all across the state meeting with people multiple times every day. And so it's amazing
what a difference
several weeks can make in the course of a presidential campaign. These are snapshots in time, and we're looking forward to January 3rd.
And I'll go down on a corn dog to make my numbers go up.
People are so bored with her.
Marcus is like, snapshot? Did someone say snapshot? Photo shoot? Pose. Come on, people.
Show
work
me love.
Me.
Show me love.
Work with me. We're losing. Michelle, get in that military bone white suit that I bought for you. Let's go. Yay. I'm just saying. She was like, you know he picked out that little white military suit for her.
Lovely choice.
Oh, my little soldier girl. March out there for daddy. I just, how many people do you think are going as Marcus and Michelle? Just in, say, West Hollywood alone tonight.
I hope so. I saw the interview with her.
A lot of people in West Hollywood wouldn't have to do much to go with
Marcus. But she was doing this interview yesterday, and there was a single light that completely took away, you know, her whole... eyeballs.
Oh,
so it's
no.
just like this,
oh.
this
oh, creepy.
White light coming back.
Creepier than Herman Cain. Creepier than HermanCain.com. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a harlot.
All right.
What?
Yeah.
You're more than a harlot.
Thank you. 34 minutes after the... Happy Halloween from the Harlot Show. 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, Tommy and Columbus getting in on the fun. What did the German woman say to Herman Cain's advances?
999!
All right. It's Herman Cain behaving inappropriately.
Not me. 99 Hold the cheesy bread with anchovies, pepperoni.
Sexy. Yeah, I don't know if this story has gone poof, Jim, but the Christian Science Monitor article, Why Herman Cain Confounds Pundits, might win the GOP nomination. That was before this story broke, so I don't really know. Yeah, James Carville recently said there's zero chance Herman Cain's going to be the nominee. Even as we write this, we can't resist pointing out Cain's spending much of this week in Texas and Alabama, two states with essentially zero influence in the nomination process. But despite our deep skepticism, we've also noticed Cain is leading the GOP field in two national polls, Fox News and CBS New York Times. Blah, blah, blah. Walter Shapiro wrote a piece in the New Republic titled, Yes, the GOP just might nominate a candidate patently unqualified to be president. He cites He cites Republican voters' distrust of the media, their anger at elected officials, the general lack of affection for Mitt Romney as key factors.
And their love of cheesy bread.
Yeah.
Now, does anybody notice since Carville shaves his head, he looks more and more like a serpent?
Yes. Oh, Edie. Louise.
I love him, but he really scares me.
I'm part reptile.
Basically what they're saying is that conservative voters don't have anywhere else to go. Michelle Bachmann eclipsed by Perry. That isn't going to happen to Cain. There aren't any other eclipsing figures left. Nate Silver, who's, you know, pretty accurate a lot of the time, he calls Cain a huge outlier among presidential candidates, writing that when it comes to predicting his trajectory, all bets are off. There is either something fundamentally unusual about this year's Republican nomination process, or perhaps that some sort of new normal has been established and the old rules of how you win a nomination no longer carry much weight. And he said, frankly, I think it's quite arrogant to say that a man leading in the polls 2 months before Iowa has no chance, especially given there's a long history in politics and other fields of experts being overconfident when they make predictions. That's true. A lot of the pundits have been wrong about almost everything, starting from the, you know, primary with Obama and Hillary and then up through the general election. That's basically the articles, or is the conventional wisdom wrong? And then the big news is going to be, and will this new story be another example of how a sex scandal doesn't hurt somebody? I don't know. What did he say today, Chris? He just denied it again, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see how that goes. Rick Santorum, yesterday.
There's no one who has done more harm to America and our security than President Barack Obama.
What?
That's
hilarious.
He's
Nobody?
So cute. Nobody? Apparently. Okay. Oh, John Huntsman, also another. Is he still in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a time when this nation wants leadership. We've been looking for leadership for some time in the White House. We haven't found it. This is when the candidates need to stand up and show a little bit of leadership. You can't be a perfectly lubricated weather vane on the important issues of the day, whether it's Libya, whether it's the debt ceiling, whether it's the discussion around the Kasich bill in Ohio, where Governor Romney has been missing in action in terms of showing any kind of leadership.
Wow, a perfectly lubricated weather vane. Herman Cain somewhere is like going,
I gotta get me one of those.
I've thought of that.
And furthermore,
you know, we had Rob Reiner do panel with us at Sexy Liberal in Los Angeles last weekend, and I was saying to him, if ever there has been a Republican field that proves that line in American president, you know, the
people want leadership, you know, and the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone.
Right? See what
they
I'm saying?
They want leadership.
See? Anyone that steps up, and that's what it is, anyone that steps up to the microphone on the Republican side.
Even if they're speaking Chinese.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, this may torpedo Mitt Romney's. He's stocking his team with policy advisors from the George W. Bush administration. It has conservatives up in arms. Some of the high-profile people he's leaning on, has the three former Bush area officials whose recent records include lobbying for Solyndra and advocating on behalf of cap-and-trade legislation and carbon tax.
No!
Yes, his long-ago environmental association's also causing him problems because now, of course, you need to be a complete climate change denier.
We need to burn more coal, my friends.
Of course, he has flip-flopped, which will shock you, on Mitt Romney. On the campaign trail, he said he'd reverse Obama-era environmental rules and would never back a unilateral cap-and-trade program. He said, my view is we don't know what's causing climate change on this flow. Oh, reversible mittens, you know that's not true. You know that he knows.
Perhaps I know that's not true. Or maybe I don't. Who knows? Who can say? Not me.
You know, that may be it, Jim. He may be left to just debate himself. Rick Perry won't show up. Herman Cain will have imploded in a...
Well, Rick Perry, when he shows up...
In a sex scandal?
Is Ron Paul saying some really cruel things and horrible things.
Ron Paul will be eaten by his giant cartoon soon. It could be just Mitt Romney debating himself, is all I'm saying.
Rick Perry is urging New Hampshire to repeal the gay marriage law and defund Planned Parenthood.
Sure. Good ideas.
And I think you should kill anyone who's accused of anything. No
just
trial.
Preemptively. Just if you don't like the look in their eye.
Hang them high.
Yeah.
In June, New Hampshire's executive council voted 3-2 to end the state's $1.8 million contract with Planned Parenthood. The Obama administration restored the funding in September.
Mm.
Thank you.
Yes. They are regressives. We are progressives. That's the whole deal. By the way, Jim, like clockwork in Right Wing World earlier, we played the first, there's snow in the east and Al Gore Burr. Yeah, we have it.
Mr. Gore, an inconvenient truth. I call it a bold-faced lie. Sorry about that. Global warming. Here's your global warming.
That was the famous Christmas blizzard last year, but take a look at this. The East Coast getting blasted again, and it's not even Halloween yet. Give me a break.
Yeah. Look, morons. With
climate change.
More moisture is put into the air, which means when it gets cold, it snows a lot.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's more proof of it, not less.
Nimrods.
Yes, there was a obviously an unseasonably early nor'easter is what they're calling it. They dumped heavy wet snow over the weekend. Halloween will likely come and go, by the way, before the more than 3 million people without electricity see it restored.
Oh, sucks. Man.
And why is the northern polar ice cap disappearing if there's no global warming?
I love this story. Tom Jacobson in New Jersey was quoted as saying, I'm thinking we really ticked off Mother Nature somehow because we've been getting spanked by her for about a year now. Yes, Tom, yes, that's climate change. Yes.
Blame it on the woman.
Huge chunk of Greenland went right into the ocean, all that ice.
Yeah. Boom. States of emergency were declared in New Jersey because Chris Christie ran out of food. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what it was. The electricity went out in his fridge, and it was a whole thing. Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and parts of New York. And we were saying earlier, a lot of it's because there's still so many leaves on the trees and then the heavy snow, and so that would have been me. There was one woman like hit by a branch in Central Park. That would have been me. That would have been my last catastrophe. New York Central Park set a record for both the date and the month with 1.3 inches of snow. Yikes.
See, this is another reason why we need infrastructure repair. In Europe, they have wires underground.
Yeah.
So when it snows,
a guy was electrocuted. Where was it? Massachusetts. A 20-year-old guy, because power lines were down, and he stepped on one. It was, That's a good point, Jim. The New Jersey's largest gas utility said they should be prepared to be without power for up until Wednesday, and more than 600,000 lost electricity, including Chris Christie. So I was not making that up.
Hmm.
I'm just saying, all the food goes bad in his fridge, and that's a state of friggin' emergency.
Well, then his Stairmaster probably wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Oof. It would be a real problem.
What can he do? Anthony in D.C., you're on.
The Stairmaster's been broken since 1972.
He uses this to hang his clothes on.
He just stepped down once on the stairs. All right, well, Anthony, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Actually, I was in reference to Herb McCain. Fox News says it's the liberals. It's not the liberals. It's the Republican Party that's doing that. They do not want Herb McCain to be in the position he's in, because most liberals, most Democrats, will love for him to be the nominee.
Yeah, well, that's true, Anthony. I think most of these damaging stories on any of them have come out from rival camps, the Karl Rove camp that hates Rick Perry and, you know, vice versa. So, yeah, exactly. This is just the sit back in the hammock and have fun time for us.
Mm-hmm.
After we watch one campaign after another.
Who would be the worst candidate to debate Barack Obama, apart from all of them?
I'm just saying the Herman Cain thing, it could be another Obama-Alan Keyes matchup. I think it could be a 40-pointer is all I'm saying. Maybe. Okay. By the way, with all the Occupy stuff going on, does this piss you off or not? Top forced closure firm threw homeless-themed Halloween bash. Ha 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 ha. See how that's funny if you've lost your home? Gawker reporting, if you're one of the nation's top foreclosure mill law firms representing Citigroup, JPMorgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo in their attempts to foreclose on homes and evict homeowners, what better way to celebrate Halloween than by throwing a party where everyone comes as a dirty, homeless victim of your practice? Oh, it's funny. See how it's funny. The New York Times got a set of photos from a Halloween party thrown last year by the firm of Stephen Baum, the merciless foreclosure mill, subject of Justice Department investigation and defended at least two class action lawsuits over its shady foreclosure practices. In one photo, two women with fake dirt on their faces hold a sign that says, "Third party squatter, I lost my home and was never served." In another, a woman holding a beer bottle in a paper bag pushes a shopping cart with a sign saying, "We'll work for food." See how that's funny? If you're the company that... The source that sent the photos said they're an accurate representation of the firm's mindset. There is really a cavalier attitude. It doesn't matter that people are going to lose their homes, nor does the firm try to help people get mortgage modifications. The pressure always is to foreclose. The firm called the photos another attempt by the New York Times to attack our firm and our work by publishing actual photos from their actual Halloween party. Okay. Oh, that, my friends, is part of what Occupy Wall Street is all about. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue the waning moments of Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. Edie McClurg humming delightfully along in her witch hat. Happy Halloween, everybody. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Oh, Joan in Ithaca with a question on what do I keep talking about? I'm going to have my rose moment.
Yeah, I either I was asleep during the show or I've missed something. Rose moment, what does that mean, Mama?
Mama is, the Sexy Liberal Tour is killing Mama in addition to network radio. And so I think, you know, the Bette Midler movie, The Rose? She played, it's the Janis Joplin story. And so when and then she finally collapses on stage and dies.
Don't do that. We love you too much.
All right. Well, thank you, Joan. I appreciate that. And it was in her hometown, so I'm thinking, when Sexy Liberal Buffalo? My hometown, November 19th. I'm thinking,
that
no,
might
no
be
extra
the
charge
denouement.
For that. No extra charge for that. Maybe my denouement. Blanc. When? Okay. All right.
Denouement.
Yes, exactly. Thanks, Jim. All right. You know I love Usher. You know why, Edie. Because I'm a lady in the street and a freak in the bed.
Let's drink, you the one to please. Ludacris fill cups like double.
Yes,
B.
Right.
Yeah. Earth, what's more, when we leave them dead. We want a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed.
Usher parked in a handicapped spot. At a, come on now. He stopped by the Little Five Points Halloween Parade in Atlanta over the weekend, and he thought it'd be okay to park in a handicapped spot.
Computer says no.
Apparently a woman went ape on him. The woman demanded the singer move his car. Usher refused. She went to ballistic, screaming, flailing her arms, and grabbing Usher's hoodie. Oh, listen, you don't spit into the wind.
And you don't grab his hoodie.
You do not grab Usher's hoodie. Oh, no, she didn't.
Mm-mm.
The woman's husband eventually dragged her away, and Usher drove away not long after.
She's a freak in the street, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Don't tug on Superman's cape.
No.
You do not tug Usher's hoodie. I don't know. Just the fact that he wears a hoodie is funny.
Oh, and, tempest in a teapot, okay?
Do not pull P. Diddy's underoos. I don't know. Anyway, Madonna says she can't live down the Material Girl tag. She said, when I started off, people called me the Material Girl. It was meant to be ironic, not meant to be taken seriously. I'm not sure how people understand irony in this day and age.
It became iconic.
Alanis Morissette doesn't understand irony either, because nothing in that song is ironic. It's just sucky.
It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. That's not ironic.
No, it's
not remotely.
Just bad. It sucks.
Isn't it ironic?
No. But get a dictionary.
Yeah. Americans do understand lip syncing, though.
Very much so.
She's very deep because she's in Kabbalah. I'm sure she's not superficial at all. Okay, nostalgia for the 90s translating to success for MTV, which brought back Beavis and Butthead. Oh, to the tune of 3.3 million viewers. Did surprisingly well among male viewers between the ages of 12 and 34. That's my demographic. Those are my boys.
But once you're 35, it's not funny anymore.
No.
Suddenly, boop.
No.
Done.
It's not funny. Justin Bieber has ordered the imprisonment of Senator Amy Klobuchar, our friend of the great state of Minnesota.
Why?
Because... You know what? This is the thing when...
Well,
celebrities should not talk about politics, and they don't really know what they're...
He's Canadian.
He was asked about her commercial felony streaming act, which would make it a felony punishable by 5 years to illegally stream copyrighted content online. She said whoever she is, she needs to know, and I'm saying she needs to be locked up and put away in cuffs, because he said he loves it when his fans record themselves singing his copyrighted songs and post them to YouTube. However, Justin, I'm sorry to tell you that, yeah. Senator Klobuchar confirmed it's not about people posting their personal work on the web. The bill only covers the internet, intentional commercial theft of things like books, commercial music, movies, including foreign piracy.
And he stole Rachel Maddow's look, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Lesbians who look like JustinBieber.com. All right. Terry in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Steph. I don't know if anybody touched on this, but were you aware that Glenn Beck was in our Fair City this weekend?
Oh, I was not. Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it was. It was even more fun when I'm driving past John Hagee's church and I see his face plastered all over the Jumbotron in front of the church.
Gack.
Near accident. Oh, it was ugly.
Gack. All right, honey. Thank you for that report. All right.
You.
By the way, I mentioned this earlier, Edie, but Occupy Wall Street continuing to camp out despite the heavy East Coast snowfall. They need winter coats, hot beverages, thermal heaters, all-weather subthermal sleeping bags, tarps, all-weather tents. You can deliver directly to them or go to their website, and there's a storage space where you can drop it off. Hmm. But they say that they're going to be keep on keeping on in the East, because it's getting cold in some places where they're... All right. Occupy, by the way, huh? Despite conservatives claim the rhetoric used by President Obama and the 99% movement is hurting the economy, the stock market on track to have one of its best months in history. Huh. Isn't that weird? They always come out on top. The Dow added 1,200 points this month by closing bell yesterday. That'd be the biggest point gain in the index's history.
Yes, but they might have gained 1,201 points if it weren't for those damn hippies.
Thanks, Jim. By the way, David Axelrod, oh, yes, he did. He said it. He was on with Candy Crowley yesterday. He said, because he would say, you know, she suggested Obama bear some of the blame for Congress's failure to act on the economy. He said, I think this is something different going on right now. When you have the leader, the Republican leader of the Senate, say our number one goal in the midst of this economy, the number one goal is to defeat the president, and they're acting like it. They don't want to cooperate. They don't want to help, even on measures to help the economy that they traditionally have supported, like a payroll tax cut, infrastructure, rebuilding our roads and bridges. These, you have to ask a question, are they willing to tear down the economy in order to tear down the president, or are they going to cooperate? Listen, there's a reason why the Congress is at a 9% in some polls, approval lowest in history, because this is different than we've seen before. So this is the stuff we've been saying. They're doing it on purpose, but now the administration is, this is according to the Plum Line, they're saying Obama's newly aggressive populism and partisan rhetoric has sparked a good deal of hand-wringing complaining from centrist columnists and leading GOP officials who've been arguing the new approach is somehow out of bounds and that it risks alienating the middle of the country, that precious chewy nougat in the middle. The centrist chewy nougat. Axelrod's amplification of the charge that the GOP may be tanking the economy on purpose suggests the Obama campaign isn't taking these objections too seriously. Good. Indeed, it's worth asking whether we're seeing a fundamental shift in the thinking of the Obama team and some Dems, a basic recognition the old rules don't apply anymore, and that unprecedented tactics being employed by the opposition require a new kind of response. Yes! Yes! Fight, fight, fight! Dana Milbank wrote, you can see the evidence of this in the unapologetic populism driving Elizabeth Warren's Senate candidacy, which suggests that Democrats will no longer play by Marcus of Queensbury rules while their opponents disembowel them. Hmm. This, now you're talking, wow, Jim Ward's language.
Yeah.
But this may be about something broader than just a new approach to Republicans. The Occupy Wall Street protests are political conversations, intense new focus on inequality and economic justice, and the extraordinary levels of voter anxiety and dissatisfaction with our institutions all seem to suggest the political landscape is shifting in ways we can't really appreciate yet. It looks like the Obama campaign is placing its bet on what kind of political response these big changes are demanding. So, yay, good, they're paying attention. Yes, they're doing it on purpose. They're trying to tank the economy, so it's time to fight back, right, Adi?
Yes.
You. It is hard to take you seriously in that ridiculous hat you're wearing.
No.
Check it out, Ustream, before she goes. Check out Edie and her scary Halloween hat. Have a happy and safe Halloween. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com. Tomorrow I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, and, of course, the delightful and witchy Edie McClurg. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.